name, something happens. As we lift up the name of Jesus, Satan can't stand it. Satan has to flee when we lift up the name and the power of Jesus. And so that's what's so powerful about corporate worship. It's a time where, have you noticed how you just get caught up often into singing and into the Lord and things begin to feel a little bit lighter? It's because the power of the Holy Spirit is coming forward when we praise the name of Jesus through singing. And the songs that you picked are exactly going along with the message. So thank you for whoever did that. Anchored Ministries, I'll first just mention an update. There's an update on the table out in the foyer, and you'll see one of these newsletters. There's some updates on there. We've got a new bus. If you notice that out in the parking lot, we have a newer van as well. They're both 2015s. And so the Lord has blessed through donors those two vehicles, which is great to get. So now we have four vehicles, two buses and two vans. I want to thank this church, the ministry you have to us, Anchored Ministries. You give us the space out there to use. We have the space in this building to use. We have the clothes closet now set up in this building, and it will be in full operation this fall. Thank you for that. We'll be starting October 15th again, tutoring in this building with meals ahead of that. And thank you for the kitchen crew that continues to do that right here out of this kitchen. So this church is near and dear to me, and really for years. I've known people from this church. Alan Franz, I didn't realize his last name until he sent the email to me. Franz, well, I knew his brother, Marlon. I was good friends with his brother, Marlon. I actually had his funeral when he passed away, as well as their son, Andrew, when he passed away. And they have a friend, Dan Stoltz. I think he used to come out of his church years ago. He's a good friend of mine. Greg Bertman, I think, also. So they've told me stories about when they grew up here, the Franzes and the Stoltzes and the Bergmans, about the coming to know Jesus in this place. So for years, I've heard of this church before it was called the Community Church, but other names. Linda Leonard, also, who had children in this church, Corinne and Nepali kids, she joined in with us with Anchored Ministries, and we pick up those same kids just down the block over here on Birmingham and Barclay and on over, go up north a ways, and we're bringing those same kids in here on Wednesday nights. And now that we have a joint partnership with Eaglebrook, Eaglebrook's 12th campus, we're taking kids there as well. So we bring kids to Saturday services every Saturday, and we also then bring the youth to youth group. First we do the middle school, we run a route with them, then we get the high school group. So we have quite a thing going there with the tutoring as well. We also work with social workers in the community. We just did 356 backpacks, which we had in your space out back here in one of the rooms until we were able to take them over to Edgerton School. But we gave every single kid in Edgerton a backpack. And the folks at Eaglebrook Church actually filled all of those bags, bought the bags, filled them, brought them back. We brought them here, stored them here, and then took them over to Edgerton. And I just got a letter from the principal there, and they are so excited to have the engagement of this church, Eaglebrook Church, Anchored Ministries, in that building. We do a lot of social work in there as well. We help people with counseling. Anchored Ministries does. We help connect people with psychiatrists and getting assessments done. We help them with getting their citizenship and help them with their testing on that. We help them with driver's ed and use our vehicles to help them drive. So a lot of different things goes on. We have a storage unit over in Andover. It is full of furniture, so we give furniture to folks when they need it. Just gave out some beds last night, in fact. So think about us and pray for us. Thank you for the space for here and the prayers and those of you that help out. And we just are overwhelmed with the support that God has given to Anchored Ministries. So thank you very much. Thinking about the message today, make sure you pick up one of these too. You can read through the stuff we do. Thinking of the message today, you know, we are in a war. As we go to slide number one, and as we go there, well, let's do the scripture first, actually. Is the scripture on there? Yeah, it's right there. It's fantastic. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, and we read that together earlier, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the prince, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's just pray. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus against the evil one that would try to distract us now from your word. We pray that there be a special anointing that would come upon each of us and be in us and flow through us. We pray that Satan would be embarrassed by our lifestyle, that we would live a life that causes evil to flee and stay away. And we pray for those of us that may be wrestling with some discouragement this morning, that in the midst of our discouragement and some difficult news that we've discovered lately in our lives or somebody else's life, that we might not be overcome by the evil one, but overcome by the grace of God. That the grace of God would be our strength. Like Paul said, whatever I do by the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, this morning, our first slide is the war. There is a war going on. There really is. And the war that's going on is invisible. It's in the spiritual, it's in the heavenly realms. It's a war between the Holy Spirit and the unholy spirit. It's a war between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the evil one is Satan, demons, and the false prophet. And so that war is going on, and we're in the midst of that war. Sometimes we forget, we think it's each other. We think it's the spouse, the kids, the neighbors, the co-workers. They're involved, but who is really causing the problem? It's Satan. It's the evil one. And the problem is that there's a group of folks that are Christians, or at least are on the rolls of our churches, and they don't even know there's a war going on. They don't think about the war that's going on. They don't realize that we're in the midst of a battle. So there's that group of people. They don't even know there's a war going on. They don't even think about it. Secondly, I don't know if you want to go down to the bottom. Yeah, I think it's larger. Yeah, we'll catch those slides and we'll do those at the bottom of the script. I think they put some in where it's a little bit larger. So there's a war going on, and people don't even realize it, but there's another group of people that know there's a war going on, but they don't know whose side they're on. They don't know whose side they're on. Then there's a war that's going on. Then there's a group of people that know there's a war going on. They know whose side they're on, but they're defeated. They're discouraged. They're dejected. They're just going through misery. They feel like failures. There we go. So the war that's going on refers to the ongoing spiritual conflict between good and evil. We're talking about that. And believers are called to engage in this unseen battle with vigilance. And so we've got three groups so far. Those that don't realize there's a war going on. Those that know there's a war, but they don't know whose side they're on. And then we've got those that know whose side they're on. They're with Jesus, but they're still defeated, discouraged, feeling pretty sad. But then there's a fourth group. The fourth group knows that there's a war going on, and they know which side they're on. They're on Jesus' side, and they know the outcome. They know that Jesus has won the victory. It's already accomplished, praise God. And those are the folks that are ready to enter into the battle. And so we have to think, which one of those groups am I in? I know recently I've had some times I'm in the third group. I'm a Christian following Jesus, but I've gotten some tough news. Some things have come along my way. And I think, oh God, this is kind of hard. Where are you? Maybe you're there right now. And then I'm reminded by the Holy Spirit, but Dan, the victory has been won. The victory has been won in Jesus. And then we begin to praise His name. And He reminds us of eternal things and eternal life and heaven. And He begins to gives us the Spirit that encourages us. So there's a war going on. Secondly, this morning, there's the warriors. The warriors in this battle. So believers, all of us, we're involved. We have to recognize that we're in God's army, that we're just singing about that. We're in God's army. We're marching in His army. And we are equipped by Jesus because He's given us His power to endure hardships. He's called us to fight in the spiritual realm. And a little bit after a while, we'll talk about how to fight in that realm. But there's also God and Satan are the warriors here. Satan, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, he's the god, small g, of this world, trying to influence as many as he can. But praise God, Jesus has come into this world, went to the cross for us, shed his blood for us, and rose again. And while he was in the grave, apparently, he descended into Hades, into hell, and he announced it to the demons, Satan, the demons, all of that. He says, I'm alive. I'm the victor. And then he came out of the grave. Because we talk about he descended into Hades, and then he arose again. And so Jesus announces to Satan, so Satan knows he is doomed. He knows his days are numbered. But he's still trying to get every single person that he can and tries to discourage us. So the warriors, God and Satan, but we are involved too because we are in Christ and we are the prayer warriors. We are the body of Christ that takes this message of Jesus to the world. The third point, not only do we have the war and the warriors, we have the wiles. The wiles, that means methods. Scripture talks about the wiles of Satan are the methods that he uses. What are some of his methods? He uses deceit. He tries to deceive us. He uses lying. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Scripture tells us that. He uses accusations. He accuses you of stuff. I'm a counselor as well as a pastor. So people oftentimes are telling me, you know, this is what my dad or my mom or this is what my neighbor said about me. Said, you will never amount to anything. Or, you know, you are a loser. If a coach says something like that to a kid in high school, you're a loser. You're just not going to make it. I know when I tried out for music, the musician told my parents, he says, hey, I wouldn't waste the money to buy an instrument for Dan. Dan just doesn't have it. Well, they said, but we have this cornet already. My dad says, I have a cornet. Can't he just use it anyway and see what happens? He says, well, he can try it, but he just doesn't have it. And when I had to just kind of like say, wow, that was kind of hard. It was kind of interesting, though. I went ahead and even though I don't have an ear for music, I still sat first, second, third chair most of the time. It was amazing how without an ear, I worked so hard at it. But I fought that insecurity. I fought what that person said. He'll never make it. The evil one takes something like that. And he runs us into the ground sometimes. So be careful of how he deceives us. So he's a liar. He's an accuser. He's a false prophet. He gets into the school systems and teaches false teachings. He gets into churches and teaches false theology. He comes as an angel of light. It looks really good, but underneath it's very deceptive. He's a deceiver. So that's how he works. The next slide, the wardrobe. You probably had a message on this with Pastor Bob when he went through Ephesians. So I'm not going to do a whole lot on the wardrobe other than to say, you know, we have righteousness, breastplate of righteousness. We have His peace. Our feet are shod in the gospel of peace. We have our readiness. We're ready to fight. A soldier has to have their feet ready to go, the readiness. We have the Word of God. We have the sword of the Spirit. And so here's the thing I want to say about the armor. When you put on Jesus, the Bible says in Romans, put on Jesus. It says in Colossians, put on Jesus. When you put Him on, He is the armor. He is all of that. He is truth. He is salvation. He is righteousness. He is peace. He is readiness. He is hope. He is faith. He is all of that. So when you put on Jesus, you have your outside covered completely. And when you have Jesus in you, you have the inside covered as well through the indwelling person and power of the Holy Spirit. So we have Jesus, our armor, in us and on us. And so we're ready to go to battle. Next, then we have the weapons. The weapons of warfare, the big one here that I want to talk about is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Word of God cuts into our joints and marrows, and joint and marrow, cuts right into the inner part of us. Cuts deep into our mind and our emotions. He is our new identity. We are new creatures in Christ. And when we are discouraged, we can dwell upon who we are in Christ. And when we dwell upon who we are in Christ, we have a mighty weapon, the Word of God, who will renew our minds. And we have the mind of Christ. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about my journey lately. My journey started just 11 months ago when my wife passed away. And then 2 months later, my father-in-law passed away. And then I've been struggling with lots of back stuff, and I'm going to be having surgery actually on November 5th. So I've got spinal stenosis, and we're going to be doing that. And so I've been discouraged somewhat about the limitations of that lately. And then my dad just passed away 2 weeks ago. We buried him on September the 15th. And in the midst of that, after that was all done, I did the service. That was my dad's request. And all of a sudden, before I went to bed that night, I had kind of an overwhelming sense of darkness. I've never had that. Just overwhelming sense of darkness. And I thought, am I going to recover? You know, how long is this going to last? What is this all about? I was experiencing the evil one messing with my mind and my position in Christ and who I am as a believer. And as I sat there and I thought, I feel like I'm just falling in a pit. And I felt lonely. I felt very, very lonely in that moment. And in that moment, I was reminded of the Word of God. And the Word of God used here is the word rhema in the Greek. General Word of God is logos, and it's all inerrant and it's all inspired. But when it uses the word rhema, like it does here, it talks about the word, the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God, it's the rhema. When the Word of God basically jumps off the passage, but jumps out of the Scripture and becomes alive in you. You've had those times where you're reading a scripture and the light bulb goes on, we sometimes say. I began to think, Lord, where are you? And my prayer was, Lord, thank you for the renewed mind that you gave me. Thank you for the new identity you gave me. I praise you, Jesus, for the fact that you're right here in this darkness with me. And then the light bulb came on. Praise God. I was getting a little worried. Struggling, actually. When the light bulb came on, he took me right to eternity. He took me right to heaven. So these days I live with 1 foot on earth and 1 foot in heaven, especially since my wife has gone there. And what I saw in my mind's eye was my dad and my mom and my father-in-law and my wife and Jesus. I don't typically get those things like that. I counsel people that get those things, and I'm kind of jealous sometimes. Why do they see these kinds of things? But it was in my mind's eye. Just like the other was too, this darkness. It was in my mind's eye, but it was real. But something more real than that was Jesus and my loved ones in heaven. And all of a sudden, everything shifted and the darkness dissipated and began to fade away. And then I was reminded to pray, "Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus." Amen, right? Hallelujah. So let's go to the next point. We'll go to the warfare now. So now we've got everything on. We've got the defense stuff on. We're defended with the armor because we've got Jesus. We've got all the armor on. And we've got the offense going too, because we've got the Word of God. We've got the Rhema God, Rhema Scripture there. And we're ready to go. And the Scripture's gonna come to us and be available to us in every situation, just like in my situation, in my loneliness. There was this God right there. But now, where's the warfare at? That's not really the warfare yet. Where's the fighting taking place? We're ready to fight. We've got the defense on. We've got the offense ready to go. The Word of God, sort of the Spirit. A lot of times, I think we think it's evangelism, or we think it's our programs. We miss this sometimes as a church or as people. And so we get very busy doing things, taking classes, finding our spiritual gifts, figuring out, small groups that will help us grow, getting in all these things that are good things, right? They're good things. But the real warfare that's taking place is prayer. It's Ephesians 6:18. It says to pray in the Spirit. That's interesting. In the Spirit, not in the flesh. It's to have a prayer that is authoritative prayer, given to us by the Spirit of God, that gives us Jesus' authority as His body to pray in His name. Not that we're Jesus, but we are His body. And so it's not just prayer, just take some prayer requests and pray. That's great and that's fine, and we all do that, and that's not wrong. We should do that. But this is a different kind of praying when it's spiritual warfare praying. But in spiritual warfare praying, you're praying intercessory prayer. You're praying, you're standing in the gap for someone else and praying on their behalf. You're praying in the name and in the power and in the blood of Jesus that Satan would get out of the way in Jesus' name, and the demons would be cast out, and the Holy Spirit would take over and come and anoint you and protect you. And you'd be reminded then of the mind of Christ is who we are. That's what we have. That's our new identity. As a therapist and a pastor, I was in several situations where I had to assess whether there was demonic activity going on or not. Because in the therapy world, you can have bipolar, you can have schizophrenia, you can have all kinds of things, or you can have reactions to medication that can have the same effect as demonic activity, and it's difficult to know which is which. So Anoka County and Ramsey County would ask me to come in and do assessments off and on to see if what they were dealing with could be possibly in the spiritual realm and maybe even in the dark spiritual realm of evil. And that was quite a privilege, because a lot of these folks were Buddhist background, non-Christian background, different backgrounds. And I said, I'm going to have to talk about Jesus. Do whatever you have to do. Because there's weird things happening in these situations. I won't go into the weird things because I'm not here to give any glory to Satan. But he does weird things, I'll tell you. And we had that in Anoka in our counseling office. We had to do spiritual cleansing because there's a lot of the occult and a lot of stuff around Halloween especially. But it's called the Halloween capital of the world. And I have an office there. And people would begin to experience demonic activity in our offices because people that were dabbling, Christians that were dabbling in witchcraft, would come in and get counseling And some of that had to be cleansed out in the name and the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. So we did office cleansings. We did house cleansings because people would get sick. Weird things would begin to happen to people as the evil one would try to discourage us, tried to run us out of town as counselors. There were several evil groups that were praying that 100 pastors in the Anoka, Coon Rapids, Spring Lake Park area would leave the ministry. They pray that they'll leave the ministry. They'll pray that they'll get discouraged, that their churches would get discouraged. So when I found that out, we started praying with pastors and groups of people. Let's pray in the name of Jesus against what's going on in our county and in our city. And so the neat thing was I was able to bring the gospel right into the counties and into school systems when they had demonic activity and pray against it in Jesus' name. And when it was of Satan, Satan had to flee. Satan had to flee in Jesus' name. If it was not that, then we would get back into the medication, get back at psychiatric stuff and take a look at it, right? But my personal experience, this stuff is real. I was in a deliverance ministry for several years back in the 80s and 90s, and we saw just a lot of stuff back when The Exorcist came out, and just saw a lot of people that got delivered in the name of Jesus from the satanic influences. But see, most people don't even know there's a war going on. Most people, if there is a war, they haven't taken a side. Many people have Jesus, but they're all defeated and are not using the offense, not using prayer, not using the warfare in Jesus' name to come against the evil one. And so the prayer in the heavenly realms is where the battle is won. And the evangelism picks up the spoils. Evangelism comes along and teaches those that get saved. Once they have been prayed over and once Satan cannot no longer blind them of the truth, and the truth begins to set them free. People say, how do you pray for your wayward kids or grandkids or people that have struggled? I say, I don't just say nice prayer requests and pray, Lord, help them. But I say, Lord, would you please now, right now, in the name of Jesus, go over and now enter the room where this person is at. And in that situation, would you please renew the mind of that person? Would you please, in Jesus' name, cast Satan out of that situation? Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, in advance for how you're going to work. You go on the authoritative offense in the name of Jesus, and you pray. Not just a nice pastoral prayer. When my wife was dying, I prayed, and she says, just a minute. She said, before you pray, please don't make it just one of those pastor prayers. I'm your wife. And I thought, oh, I didn't realize that I wasn't praying, you know, as the husband. And so then I thought, Jesus, pray through me. And Jesus prayed through me differently. I wasn't trying to impress. I wasn't trying to come up with all the different things. I wasn't trying to, you know, say the right words. I just let the Lord pray. And when I said amen, she said, that was a good prayer. She typically didn't say that about my prayers. That was a good prayer. She was so good for me because she humbled me. She let me know when I was a people pleaser rather than just sharing real life. The last slide, to be a winner, the winner. We are the winners, look, people. We are the winners. We've got Jesus, and he has already conquered it. So whatever you are facing today, know that you pray against the evil forces, yes. And you pray for the mind of Christ to rise up within you. You pray that the new identity of who you really are in Jesus would come to the surface, and it will. Because you are saints. You are ambassadors. You are his workmanship. You are blessed. You are healed, if not here in heaven. You are, you know, filled with the Spirit of God. You have the power to pray in Jesus' name against the evil forces. You can praise his powerful name and experience him, but you will have moments like I did. You'll have dark moments. You'll have lonely moments. And what I've discovered is that everything I taught for 46 years in theology and everything I helped other people with, I taught grief classes for years. But now I've gone through my own 13-week grief class. Now I sit on the other side of the table.
And now I realize that what I did teach is true. It really works. I hoped that it worked for the people I told, but now I know that Jesus is enough. And so what I have now, I call it the experiential reality of His peace, of His joy, of the fact that He is with me. Even in my own pain, as I stand here, He's with me. I haven't felt it as I'm talking. You know, thank you, Jesus. It's just interesting how a focus on Him makes the shift that we all need. What can separate us? I close with this. What can separate us from the love of God? Shall distress or persecution or nakedness or peril or sword or famine? No. In all these things, praise God, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am persuaded, he says, Paul says, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God which we have in Christ Jesus. Receive it and receive it now. Hallelujah. May God bring healing, may He bring encouragement, and may Satan leave Lake Bailey Community Church alone and Anchored Ministries alone and Eaglebrook Church alone and all the churches in this city. May He leave them alone in Jesus' name. We pray against all those that are praying against us, and we have a greater force. And so let's be encouraged with it. Let's talk it out more. Let's share it more. Let's walk it into every web of influence and talk about, not forcefully, but just tell your story of how Jesus is working in you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. May God bless you. And may you have more of Him and more victories over the evil one when He brings His accusations and His lies. In the name of Jesus, peace. Amen.